You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, Netflix is putting stuff out all the time, and when they put out a show called The Blues Brothers, which is clearly a Blues Brothers play on words, I'm like, all right, I like drinking. Let's give this a shot. And then I remember, it's Screener Squad. That's really rolling the dice at that point.
Yeah, that's you're being way nicer about it than I'm going to be, because... man, this is like the Keystone Light of TV shows. I thought this was just...
God.
Yeah, was not a fan of this, to put it mildly.
Well, fair enough. Well, before we get too far into it, I'm Ben, and joining me is JC.
Hello, hello.
And we also have Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you want to go by Josh? I forget which one you prefer.
I usually go by Hunter, so let's say Hunter.
Let's go with Hunter.
Yeah.
That's one of those things you forget to start before recording, but, you know, the show kind of numbs the brain.
Yeah. This was only 8 episodes, too.
30-minute episodes.
And I've been reviewing stuff for a while, and I gotta be honest, I can't remember the last TV show that I just felt just numb after watching it, because I just finished this maybe 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I know I watched it, and I was dead dog sober when I watched it, and yet it feels like a fever dream.
Yeah, mine was what, maybe 2 hours ago? Yeah.
Yeah, I finished it last night. I kind of tore through it. I got excited because I watched the trailer, and immediately upon watching the trailer, I called it. Like, the way that it's shot and the way that it looks, I was just like, this looks like The League. And then sure enough, I'm watching the trailer, and they're like, from the creators of The League.
See, that's what I was trying to pull up a tab for before this, because I can't find the connection to The League at all.
Oh, it's oh
yeah. The trailer said from the creator.
It was Jeff something, right?
Oh, I know that the trailer said that, but I'm saying I was trying to look at it. It's like, is it Jeff Schaefer? Because the guy isn't like, that's not even one of like the top things put up here for him on IMDb or Wikipedia. So maybe he's one of the guys.
So the creator, I guess it's because I think Jeff Schaefer is a producer. Greg Schaefer is the creator. And So I'm a big fan of The League. To get a little nerdy here, I'm a huge fantasy football fan outside of comics and, you know, all that other stuff. But I'm a huge fan of fantasy. I thought The League was excellent until the last season, because any fan of The League will tell you the fifth season just went off the rail, jumped 12 sharks. I don't know what the hell they were doing with that last season. And if I have to give Greg and Jeff Schaefer credit for anything, they actually made a season of TV that's worse than the last season of The League, because this all just felt like a giant mishmash of maybe 30 different subplots, but they couldn't commit to one. And I just was sitting there thinking, there are multiple other ways I could be using my time than watching the show. And this would be different if this is the first time, you know, TV creator or TV writer, but this is second at bat, and this kind of just upset me.
Well, looking at it here a bit closer, it looks like Jeff was the guy who made The League, or one of the makers of The League, where he produced it, directed a lot of the first few seasons. Greg has no credits on The League at all.
Interesting.
He's
okay.
Like his brother, who I guess came to him with this idea, who's been a writer for years, and I'm going to assume brother because of enough credits here. And basically, Jeff was like, yeah, I'll help executive produce it for you.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating in that, looking at the stuff that Netflix spends money on, because like I've got a group of friends that... you know, we've tried to get different projects and stuff off the ground, and like Netflix has a seemingly unending fountain of money, and it's like, throw some of that our way. We can make a little bit better show than this.
Oh yeah. Well, do either of you want to get into kind of what the general plot or concept of the show is?
Yeah, I can. So this sort of takes a look, sort of like the way the league took a look at fantasy football, because that was exploding in popularity. Here we have, in many a city, including Austin, breweries are becoming hugely popular. And a lot of them have a lot of the same traits I noticed from the show. Like, a lot of them will have a food truck parked outside. They're part of like different brewery tours, things like that. So this sort of like takes a look at that whole industry, of which one I'm not as familiar with. And so that's the other reason I was kind of interested in this show. The premise is these two brothers, both of which are apparently really good at making beer, one a little bit better than the other. One learned how to make beer from Trappist monks, but he's struggling to get the brewery off the ground. And so his brother comes in to help him, and they don't get along. His brother is a dick for no reason.
Good grief, yeah.
Just so they can have some kind of comedy foil going on, I guess.
Yeah, and that is sort of like wherein lies the problem. Like, the brother being a dick, he pulled it off well, but it's like, it didn't really know why he's such a dick. Like Rafi in the league is a crazy, insane character, and you immediately understand why Rafi is the way that he is. And like, yeah, the character, I think the problem in comparing this to the league is that the league had really established good and professional comedians at the helm.
Yeah.
On screen. And I don't know the background of any of these actors. If they're comedians, they're not very good ones.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, is the show feels like somebody was sitting down at a brewery and just like try to do some observational comedy about it, and then they wrote 8 episodes off of the best they could come up with. That, like, you know, you look at things like Beer Fest, that actually understands beer humor so much better than this, and that is just as off the wall and zany as this tries to be, but it actually feels more grounded just because it actually, you know, hits the world better. This just felt like, again, somebody sat down at a brewery and was like, hey, look at these food trucks. Aren't the food truck people always weird? Man, I bet if I was working with my brother, we'd always fight. And, you know, look at the weird guys behind the bar who always seems to be trying to do 3 jobs at once. Man, this is a weird place.
It felt like someone was watching Beer Fest, and then like another friend of yours would be watching that movie Drinking Buddies, and they tried to combine the two, and this is kind of what you get. And while the ending of Drinking Buddies irks me to no end, it felt like that feeling for the whole duration of the show. I was sitting here with my girlfriend watching it, and she finally got out of the room and went, I know you have to watch this, but this is pissing me off. I think I got to episode 3 before I got an actual, like, haha, like an actual laugh. Everything else, I was just sitting there thinking, this brewery is incredibly unsanitary. The fact that they haven't been shut down by some health organization is just mind boggling. I think you guys put it perfectly. JC is just, the brother whose name I'm completely blanking on. He's really a dick for no reason. I think they're going more for the Ruxin character from the league, a Nick Kroll's character. And they really could have used Nick Kroll here.
Just as an arrogant asshole with no self-awareness. Ruxin at least has some self-awareness on when he has to play himself as a normal human being.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't at all. His character is literally like, let me talk down to everyone, be an asshole to everyone. Like, the first episode, the concept of it is that he shows up, you know, and you find out very quickly something that really doesn't matter until like 12 episodes in, or it feels like 12 episodes in, and then still doesn't matter that Sarah, who's kind of the bar manager, but at that point not officially, found him and invited him in, which God knows how she knew he had a brother, whatever.
Thank you. I have that written down. Sorry.
No, you're good. And then he's like, but then like, he knows he has nowhere else to go. And there's literally a plot point at the end of that first episode where he says that, and yet he's still an asshole, basically trying to force every way for his brother to fail and be an asshole to him. And then he begs for it, and his brother, being the only semi-nice guy, normal human in this whole show, which still does not succeed as far as that character goes, says, fine, you can stay with me. And it's just like, but why would your brother have any of the motivation to act the way he had that whole scene?
Yeah. The comparison to Drinking Buddies is also interesting, because that's a movie that I should like a lot, because I like all the people involved. But that writer director, Joel Swanberg, he does this really annoying thing where he doesn't write out full scripts. He basically gives his characters guidelines and it's just like, here's what happens in this scene. Make it happen. Like with whatever dialogue you can think of in your head. And so that seems like what this was. Like, here's a scenario, a bunch of monks are gonna get into a fight, make it happen. And it's like, you need guidance. You need write something down. Like tell them what to say.
So I was trying to meet this show on every level. Like, oh, you're being a quirky, you know, zany, you know, work comedy, like something like News Radio, but you don't have the jokes to go ahead and actually, you know, be able to lean into that.
Or maybe it also doesn't have a powerful enough lead like News Radio did.
True, but then I was like, oh, maybe it's trying to be Everyone's a Dick, like something like Curb Your Enthusiasm or It's Always Sunny. But again, doesn't have the but it. These characters don't get the comeuppance that those characters in those shows do to warrant you sitting through a full season of it. And I was begging the show, I was pleading with the show to not have the one, have Sarah be the like romantic interest for someone, which they pull from nowhere, might I add. When they want to go ahead and inject this romantic subplot, I want to say it's around episode 5. Just when it came up, I went, really? Like, it didn't feel natural whatsoever.
Well, I wouldn't say it's fully pulled from nowhere. I feel like the baseline for why the other brother was invited in was kind of supposed to be that baseline. Though I will also say, that first episode, I couldn't tell. I thought they were already, like, married or dating or something, because there's no other reason she should put up with that kind of bullshit from her boss or at work. I'd just be like, now I can find other places. I'm a competent enough human being. But, yeah, no, that was kind of the thing was, then they get to that romantic subplot that goes nowhere.
It absolutely nowhere.
And then they try to tease, like in the later episode, I think the last episode of the season, that he kind of does like her and just want to see her go. But it's like, you even said you intentionally, you know, gave her the cold shoulder on that. Like, you didn't want to date her. What the hell is this point? Where is this going?
But I want to say it's a Wilhelm, who's the older brother, I believe they say.
He's the one that runs the brewery, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What's really irritating about this one thing in particular I just could not get over. So there's a subplot where Sarah basically blackmails him into saying, like, you're going to make me a manager now. And they even say, because he goes, I told you that, you know, I was 21, and he goes, well, I never checked your ID. And I just went, okay, so you're going to hire someone to work at your brewery and not check their ID? You just asked if she liked beer, and she went, yeah, I like beer. And that was enough for you. And so I'm sitting there going, you're a negligent boss. You're a terrible business owner. Where am I, as the audience member, supposed to go? I want you to succeed. I want this brewery to be shut down by the end of it. There was no part of me that was cheering these guys on at all. And the dickhead brother, he's such a dick so consistently, so early on, that when, of course, he tries to make the turn that, oh, I'm kind of better now, it feels so unearned. And not warranted at all. It feels like it's just there because the show goes, well, obviously he has to turn so that they can kind of work together, but they don't even do that, really. So,
yeah, I feel like there's an episode where he gets drunk, and part of the joke is he believes beer is an art. It shouldn't be, you know, getting drunk off of it, blah, blah, blah. If they took that turn from there, I could have seen it, because that is a very different time for that character. They don't build it out, though. They let it sit for another episode or two, and yes, they're 30-minute episodes, but they just pack a ton of shit into these episodes. No, not a single moment gets to linger or breathe. You're just moving the whole episode, and it's not in a good way. It's just, you're just nonstop feeling like this is just not working perfectly.
Yeah, there's things they could have made fun of. Like, they touch on how the dickhead brother is a beer snob. And that's one of the things I find kind of irritating about the beer culture, is people who are like beer snobs. And they could have done anything with that except have it be a throwaway line where it's like, you're a beer snob. And it's like, no, I'm not. And then, like, that's it. Like, breweries are filled with beer snobs. Like, find a way to make fun of them.
I mean, I lived in Austin for 7-8 years, and yes, that is that beer snob culture. It is very real. I did find a little humor in Adam trying to educate people on how they should be drink beer and all that. I did find it interesting if they're, I mean, the show's not devoid of laughs. I thought there was, I think it's episode 4. There's a monk fight that really comes from nowhere, but I got a little entertainment out of that because as a wrestling fan, it was just a giant battle royal, you know, with monks, and I got some entertainment out of that. But I think our comparison to Beer Fest is very apropos because there's a lot of attempted gross out gags here, but it's just dead horse central. Like anytime they could find a way to draw a dick or have someone drink beer that pass through man's ass before it hits their lips. I mean, just these very gross like jokes that really the setup is bad anyway, and the payoff isn't good enough to warrant the setup they went through. So it's just a lot of humor like that. I kept thinking of something like Bucky Larson. Oh, that's really what it kept taking me to, where I just went enough.
I didn't think it was quite that bad. I mean, I think I will agree. Monk Monday is, which is the fourth episode, is actually a pretty funny episode overall because it actually has something going on in it. It has some variance in the characters, and the reason why things go crazy is kind of that same way the league would go crazy sometimes. Like you expect these, you know, Trappist monks to be, you know, peaceful monks that just like their beer, and instead the whole joke is them turn out to be, you know, big party guys and they love to get shit faced. And it's like, honestly, that kind of is a league kind of term where they would meet, you know, a football player that they love, and it turns out he has some like weird thing that he needs their help with, and they're like, no, why would we know about that? It's like, well, isn't that what you guys are here for? Like, that was half the good, like, random bits in the league, or at least the early episodes.
Yeah, true.
If you're not convinced by that point that this is influenced somehow by the league, then yeah.
But it,
you need to watch a different show.
It just, but that's kind of the most I felt like is influenced by the league. The rest of it really did want to be like Beer Fest, where it goes completely crazy.
Well, anytime, I think the best episodes are the monk episode and then the gay biker club that are white supremacists.
Oh, that's
club.
Pretty
like
good.
Those are the two most episodes like the league because they're like crazy characters that are only going to be in this one episode. And it's just like, yeah, like those. That's kind of where it shines when you bring in other people. When you focus so much on the main four people, the two brothers, Sarah and Chewie's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But when you're just focusing on those four people, like, yeah, it's not enough because they're not. Good enough.
I was just gonna say the league is part of the reason why the league worked is while they are kind of, you know, made larger than normal characters and some even more than that, the show still kind of grounded its world and its people as just those guys, you know, that get really passionate about one thing and that's where they're weird. Whereas this is like, these are just people going way too over the top in a world that generally seems outside of them to be relatively normal that wouldn't accept that sort of thing. I mean, yeah, in the league you have, you know, Ruxpin being a complete tool, but then when he gets to work, he is a professional adult who can actually do his job and go through court. It's when he's handling stuff about the league and playing fantasy football and talking about sports that he goes completely off the deep end and becomes an asshole.
Yes. Yeah. Seeing Adam living back where they were making the beer and using a power hose to like what to get rid of his literal shit. It's like, guys, come on. Like that, and that's where it goes. That's where the Bucky Larson comparison was just ringing my head. Because this show just, it could not help itself. Like it would go out of its way to have these just gross jokes. Chewie, I thought, was channeling his Luis Guzman. Like I thought he was doing a Luis Guzman impression because he's kind of wacky, but then when the show requires it to, he's intelligent about a few rare subjects, but then he has this coughing disease where he just passes out for absolutely no reason, which I went, all right, why is this here?
Also, I want to say that episode and that whole thing, that was the thing that pissed me off the most in this whole thing, where it's like, they're talking about quads, not even looking at this, you know, paraplegic guy behind them, and he gets pissed off at them and considers them assholes for it. And it's like, no, it's a type of beer, and they get kicked out of a restaurant because of it. And then like the joke comes back in later where the he has to prove it to the guy, and the guy turns out to be like the owner of the biggest can distributor in the whole entire state. And it's like, he would know what a Belgian quad is. If anyone does, it is that guy. You're fucking kidding me here.
Yeah, and then they have the guy who had like the who had lost part of his arm, and I can't remember. This is like a stump beer, or whatever they said. And he's like, oh come on! It's like, please stop, please stop, show. And
it was the most burned out I think I got. Like, I literally took a break after that episode. I'm like, I'm gonna go just walk around for a minute because I don't want to watch a bit more at the moment.
I got two episodes in, and I had to take a break. Like, I never stopped something that early, and I just went, you know, if I'm gonna review this and sit through it, I need to kind of break this up into portions, because this is really trying my patience. If there is someone that I did laugh at, because Sarah did make me laugh a little bit, because she's the most, you know, quote, mature, unquote, out of the kind of the core group. I like Truffle. I thought Truffle was hilarious. Truffle had a couple moments just being this almost like a Ivan, like almost like this Drago, like Monk Drago.
He's played by Flula Borg, who is a very rising, if not already popular, German comedian in America. I've known him from a few things. My friend is a big fan of him on like YouTube and stuff like that. And
I didn't look him up. I was trying to figure out where I knew him from.
He shows up in a lot of things. I mean, he was Entangled the series, if that helps. So he does a lot of voices. Showed up in Curb Your Enthusiasm a couple years ago. He was in that Killing Hasselhoff movie that was terrible. He showed up on Silicon Valley. Like, he showed up in a lot of things as kind of like the...
I bet that's where I saw him.
Okay. He showed up in a lot of things as the German guy. And I think he does a good job here, because again, the monks are one of the best things they added to the show. And he plays up like that great, like furthering those monks to the weirdest extreme when they were already like that opposite extreme of your average monk. And I kind of appreciated that at times, because he did break it up and take it to that actual crazy degree that the rest of the show was just playing with and never quite hitting.
Yeah, I think the show, you know, it has a trouble committing to what it wants to be. Does it want to be that zany comedy? Does it kind of want to be a dramedy? Because the last episode is probably more of a dramedy than it's definitely more of a dramedy than the other seven episodes. So I went, oh, is this what you're wanting to be?
I hated so much of that last episode. It just as, like, I like the last scene, because it's like, yeah, you're going back to what was good for the rest of the series, but you had a terrible last episode.
But the problem is, you have to sit through a lot of poo to get to what could be a potential season. And I got to be honest, I think about something that I just watched on Netflix, the I Am Not Okay With This. I think about how that ended and how I went, oh my God, I want more of that show. And, you know, my big thing when it comes to reviewing something is, by the end of it, does it deserve to continue? Does it deserve a sequel? Does it deserve, you know, a comic, whatever? And... not for this. I went,
in the end, I think that's kind of one thing that annoyed me about it, and that it wasn't like, it's far from like the worst thing I've seen, but when I think about the great shows on Netflix that I've loved that Netflix has canceled, like Santa Clarita Diet, American Vandal, shows that Netflix will cut the cord on really early, and I bet something like this will go on like 5-6 seasons, like Grace and Frankie, which Grayson Frankie is good, but Grayson Frankie isn't 5-6 seasons.
No, it's got its audience, though. It's got that, you know, pensioners who like, you know, the actresses that they've known for years, which it does well.
Yeah.
But JC, why don't you roll that into your final thoughts?
That was kind of rolling into my final thoughts. Ultimately, this is something that I was kind of looking forward to when I saw the trailer, because it looked funny from there. It did deliver a few laughs, and as heartbroken as I get when a show that I like gets canceled, especially without any closure, like if this were to get canceled or not get a second season, it wouldn't really bother me that much, even though maybe a good 30-35% of it I kind of enjoyed. And it was interesting to see an actress friend of mine in the pilot, just one scene that was kind of cool. Overall, definitely not something you'll regret if you miss. Like, I know everyone's got a lot of time in their hands and they can catch up on stuff, put this like to the bottom of your list. Like, if you want to see it, I think you should see it. I think there's an audience for it. I think people will enjoy it more than we did. I don't think it should be very high on anyone's list of things to see, though. Maybe I would give it 4.5 out of 10. See, so I don't own it.
Hunter, how about you?
Yeah, I didn't like this. The more I'm sitting here kind of talking about it with you guys, I go, no, I was upset when this show ended, and I don't want it to get renewed. I don't think it deserves to get renewed. If this is one of those shows you like, good for you, but I may not talk TV with you. This was just irritating. There's a few laughs from Sarah and Truffle. The people we didn't really talk about much, but the two people who run the food truck, they just irritated the hell out of me. Their gag.
Yeah, it should have been a one-off joke.
Yeah, they could not keep from going back to them, and it was just not a good running joke. There's so much stuff on Netflix. Like, I'm just starting Ozark, and oh my god, that show is great, and it just makes me hate shows like this more. So if you want to watch it, cool, but there's no reason to rush to watch it. So I'll give it 3.5 beer coming out of a tube from a guy's ass into another guy's mouth.
Yeah, I think I kind of come closer to JC on this one, where I don't hate the show. I don't think very highly of it, but I didn't think it failed, you know, outright on there. I think it just really, really hit that middle bar and stayed there. A few episodes are just terrible. Like, I don't even remember which ones they are specifically, except for the last episode. And that's just because that episode felt so imbalanced. So, again, with a 30-minute show, it feels like it's rushed because it just never stops moving. And I felt like there could have been like a 2-episode plot that, and even then it still might've felt rushed with how much they try to just change it over. There's a betrayal, but from two characters, that means it makes no sense in the context of the show at the end there. And just, I don't know. I don't even have words for that episode. It just really pissed me off that much. But yeah, I think Flugelborg is great as Truffle here. You know, I'm not fully sold on the guy and his, you know, independent stuff, because he does have a weird German sense of humor. And while I do generally get European sense of humor, I'm not fully sold on him. I will say Carmen Flood as Sarah, this is her first like non-short film on IMDb. I thought she was really good. She also has an episode, I think it's actually the one with the white power Nazi gay biker gang, which is a good episode.
She's painting.
Yeah, but she's not great in that episode. Like, her character is literally just there to try to like flesh her out, kind of, to give her something outside of the bar to do, and it doesn't help. Chewie, I think, is fun. Marquez Ray, who I don't know from anything else either, but he's fun as kind of that like zany dumb guy who's just like, oh man, yeah, do you want a liver? I can get you a liver. It's like, all right, you know, that character does have a place in this type of show. And I kind of appreciate it, but the two leads, the brothers, they're just fine. Neither of them stand out at all. You get more from the two guys. I think there was Matt and Jack that are like the lifetime members of the bar or the brewery.
Yeah, the founder circle.
Yeah. Those guys are at least entertaining because they kind of have, you know, a Cheers couple of guys type of sense of humor to them. And they work better than the two brothers because of that. And that's sad for the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, I won't be sad or mad if there's a second season of this, because I'm sure somebody will like it and I hope to God it can get better, but I'm not going to be running to be on that review. I'm not going to be running to watch that. I'm going to give it 5.5 out of 10 Weiss power.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, the show started okay. I mean, as far as a pilot episode goes, that first episode, while not amazing, was actually entertaining. Like, I got some chuckles there.
Yeah, I couldn't find a reason to laugh at this until, like, I think it was the second or third episode where Adam's wearing a vest and Wilhelm calls him Deadwood, and I love Deadwood. I was like,
that was funny. Was like, that is actually, that gave me hope for that. I was like, oh man, this show is probably going to be really well written. And
that might have been the best joke in the season.
it honestly might have been outside the monk fight. And I'm really sitting here racking my brain trying to think of some of the jokes I laughed at, and there aren't that many, and that's for a comedy, that's a problem. So, you
know. Yeah. God damn it. Yep. That's all I got to say in this show. Except for, I mean, I did enjoy seeing a monk playing craps and snorting coke. That was pretty good.
That's fair. I mean, well, if they want to do a spinoff show on the monks, I would watch the hell out of that. That'd be great. But
yeah,
you know.
I think they have their next season if they actually plan it.
Yeah, we'll see.